It was on this date that John Paul II, of course, issued a great encyclical on mercy. And I was always struck by this. It's just a strange fact that St. Faustina, right, the Lord referred to her as the secretary, as the apostle of his mercy, right? She doesn't appear. She doesn't even show up in this landmark encyclical on divine mercy written by the mercy pope himself, Pope John Paul II, who would ultimately go on to both beatify and canonize her. And think about the time, 1980. He writes this document called Dives in Misericordia, rich in mercy, right? And the ban on St. Faustina's writings, they had only been lifted for 2 years, you know. And the first Polish edition of the Diary of St. Faustina only existed as a work in progress. I mean, it wasn't even done. So St. John Paul II had been the one, of course, to launch her cause for canonization as when he was the Cardinal Archbishop of Krakow. But still in 1980, she wasn't yet fully or, you know, clearly on the church's radar. Isn't that amazing? That makes Divine Mercy one of the fastest grassroots movements, devotions in the history of the church. We know what would happen, right? Early the next year, the Holy Father would be shot in 1981. And John Paul II, when he was recovering from that assassination attempt, his friend, who was Archbishop Desker, Andrew Desker, he read from him. He read to him from the first published Polish edition of St. Faustina's diary, which a good friend of mine, Father Seraphim Michalenko, had actually provided. He's, may God rest his soul now. God called him home last year. But the first Polish edition of the diary was printed in Rome because the communist occupation of Poland at the time prevented the diary from being printed here. But John Paul would go on both to beatify and canonize St. Faustina, establish Divine Mercy Sunday, and so much more. I'm joined this afternoon by a man who knows the story intimately. He has been long connected to Divine Mercy, and he's the author of 100 Ways That John Paul II Changed the World. It's great to have Patrick Novakoski back with me again. And if you want to check him out too, you can check out his website, novamedia.us, novamedia.us. Hey, Patrick, good afternoon.
Hey, great being with you, Drew.
Thanks for your patience today. I know we're running late. I thought of you over the weekend, over the holiday, as I realized, hey, the Feast of St. Andrew, it's also the day that John Paul issued that encyclical. Tell us a little bit about Dives in Misericordia and John Paul and St. Faustina. Bring us back in time on this encyclical. What's it say and why is it so important today?
Yeah, I loved your introduction. You know, the ban on the spreading of divine mercy according to the writings of St. Faustina, that ban was lifted 6 months and one day before John Paul was elected to the See of Peter as Pope. So it was very timely. And John Paul II didn't know St. Faustina, but he moved to Krakow about 2 months before she died in 1938. As a young man, started going to college, was an actor. Interesting that I know Peter very well, your previous guest, and the importance of theater and how that played a role in John Paul II's life. He moved from theater to the priesthood shortly after his father died. But so he was close to Faustina. He knew the Divine Mercy story. And yeah, when he was shot, he asked for two things, the Third Secret of Fatima and Faustina's diary, which was newly published at the time. And interesting, too, that he doesn't talk about Faustina in this encyclical, but he always said he felt very spiritually near to St. Faustina when he began writing in the diary. Another interesting aspect is that the original text of this encyclical, he wrote it longhand in Polish. And then he worked on it. But he examined the world's problems. He brought them up in his first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, the Redeemer of Man, including the rising militarization, tyranny, starvation, and the daily problems of personal life. But, exploring the issues of the day through the lens of mercy, through the biblical, traditional Christian understanding of God's mercy. And he said that the only solution for the world's problems, and they were really as big then as they are now, if not more so, he said the only solution is to beg for God's mercy, and that this is a time for mercy, and we need to recognize that the time for mercy will pass, and then it will be the time for God's judgment. So And but he also said that he considered this. That he has said this later, that he considered spreading the divine mercy his special task before God. That God had kind of inserted him in a place in history through Poland, being in Poland during the communist occupation of Poland, and then being elected pope. God put him in that place in history for a special task, and that divine mercy, spreading God's mercy, was a big part of his pontificate.
You know, it just always has stunned me and amazed me. It's, you know, they're just referring to, I mean, this devotion was banned till 1978, you know, and of course you've got John Paul, who was so instrumental in having that ban reevaluated, ultimately discovering the error in the ban and the erroneous translations of the diary. And then ultimately this devotion moves forward. And you worked with Father Seraphim Mikalenko. And it's just so amazing that he was so instrumental in getting John Paul, or Cardinal Descor at least, the diary of St. Faustina, the only one. It really wasn't even done. I mean, what he has done, Father Seraphim and the Marians, and just being able to, you know, get the devotion spread has just been unbelievable. This is one of the fastest grassroots devotions in the history of the church, isn't it? It's amazing. If you think about 1980,
yeah,
our own time, where this devotion has gone.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you've talked about this on your show, but one of the Marian fathers, New Father Sapochko, who was Faustina's confessor and spiritual director, one of the Marian fathers snuck that diary out of Poland, went through Japan, crossed the Pacific, and brought it into the United States to Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And that's why the Marians kind of led the way in North America in spreading this devotion to divine mercy. They were printing cards and devotional materials back in the 1950s. So this goes back really, really far. And you know, obviously God's providence too, that one of these Marian priests was able to get this material out about these revelations that Jesus made to St. Faustina even back in the 1940s during the war.
Yeah, it's absolutely spectacular. So, you know, Benedict XVI had a great devotion to divine mercy and so on. This document, is it a hard read? Dives in Misericordia, a guide to his rich in mercy? What do you think?
Not really. I mean, he looks at various things, you know, stories that we all know, the prodigal son. And he looks at the father's response to the repentance of the prodigal son. He comes back repentant, saying, I'm not worthy to be your son. I've sinned against you, and I'll just be a slave on your property. And the father's response is, no, you are my son. And that is what we are called to as Christians, to have that type of response to repentance. So he talks about that, and it's not a hard read, but it's a profound read, and has great relevance, because he really looks at who we are as human beings. You know, John Paul was very big on human anthropology, who we are made in the image and likeness of God, and that we are made ultimately to be with God forever. And Jesus shared our humanity so we could share in his divinity. Gets into that, and that, you know, all that God wants from us is our hearts and our turning back to him, the repentance that is so necessary in order to be transformed. And so it's a beautiful read, and I think that like I said before, as relevant today as it was 41 years ago when he wrote it.
Hey, well, Patrick, I have probably less than a minute to go. You wrote a book on John Paul II, too. If people want to get, if they want to read a little bit more about his role in mercy, you've touched on a lot of other things, too, but what's the best way to connect?
Best way to connect, booksbypatrick.com. You can get your autographed copy there. It's also available at our Sunday Visitors bookstore and on Amazon.
Sounds great. You know, we're going to pray the chaplet. I'll remember you with my personal intentions and wish we had more time to talk. It's always good to catch up with you. Keep up your great work, okay?
Thank you, Drew. Always great to be with you.
It's Patrick Nowakowski. Check out his book, too, and stay with me. I'll be back. We'll pray the chaplet.